talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. No, it wasn't Ted Williams, was it? See, I'm telling you, it's Halloween. No, see, you get stuck in those little things. No, it's a getaway Friday. Friday, October 31st, 2025. Halloween, 13 minutes past the hour. See, that was my little Halloween thing.
It's all right. She was just dressed up as Ted Williams.
That's right. Marla Gibson is Ted Williams this Halloween. Matt Morgan's here. Don't forget, we'll be live tonight, 8:15 until 10 p.m. Then Matt's show will be on 10:15 to 11. We don't know if he'll have a guest or not. But we will be passing out candy here, Matt and I and Terry Klein, I believe, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. prior to the show tonight during Halloween here in the Marion area. It doesn't look like it's going to rain, so that'll be nice.
Is that the first?
Well, it's brought to you by the Industrial Channel, so that's nice. So here we go. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, an interesting story. I saw this pop up on the Amy Acton media, all her media, yesterday. She's the kind of person we need now. She is earning the nomination just based upon her tenacious hard work she's doing. She's all over the state. She's talking to people, and people are responding to her in a very emotional way. She has a wonderful chance of defeating Ramaswamy, Ted Strickland, 68th governor of Ohio, and it's a picture of Amy Acton and a picture of Ted Strickland. Now, I believe that quote is from my show on Wednesday. And somebody sent that to me saying that. They said, is that from your show?
It might be.
Well, who else would have done it? Who else has interviewed Ted Strickland in the last 2 days?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't. I listened to about 10 minutes of the Ted Strickland interview, so I really couldn't tell you.
A lot of people like that one.
I mean, it was a good interview. I just
think it's interesting. But because he hasn't endorsed her and made it very clear in that interview he was not going to endorse her until he finds out what Tim Ryan's doing. But he did say he did not think that Tim Ryan was going to run. But why would her campaign put that out there?
Because it's good. It looks good. That's why. I mean, okay. I think that's a pretty simple reasoning.
Well, there you go.
Looks good.
Well, okay. Did you ever give your thought on why Amy Acton is so interesting to people? I forget what that post ended up having by the end, the Amy Acton post, the last interview she did. But it was some enormous amount of response to an interview.
I don't know. In particular reasoning as to why.
Ended up with 93 responses, 103 comments, and 10 shares. And probably still going.
Well, that's good.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, about that time of year.
Yeah, but I don't think a Ramaswamy interview would get that kind of attention. There's something about her that draws people in. I don't know what it is. I think Ted Strickland's got it right about draws an emotional response from people.
I mean, she might, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard, like, any of my friends or family talking about it, or her, I guess, but they're not really political.
No, but it goes back to, I don't want to say I'm a genius, but back when this all started, a year ago, I said she has such name recognition in Ohio, this could be the best Democratic candidate they've had in years, or certainly the one that's going to get the most attention, and I stand by that now more than I ever do before. She's broke the fundraising records. She gets more attention when she comes on for an interview than any other political guest. There's something she brings out in people. People know who she is, and people want to talk about her.
Well, that's good, I guess. I think it's she's the COVID lady.
Yeah, for the good and the bad. But she's known. And name recognition sometimes is really all you want.
I don't know, maybe.
In any event, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So if you were going to write a story about the city of Marion this past week, what's the story?
Well, the state auditor is about to come in and, you know, do some kind of audit on our books to determine which level of fiscal concern, I guess, we're on. And, you know, that's not going to bode well for the city. there's the three administration members have resigned or retired. It's not looking great for the city as of this given moment.
Well, you got to hear all that conversation about Mayor Schertzer versus Mayor Collins and all that last hour. What do you make of it?
Well, I didn't see much of the Schertzer administration, I maybe saw him speak once or twice in city council the entire time I was, you know, we went to the Schertzer administration, council meetings. I never saw him put forward legislation. He wasn't a legislative kind of mayor. They are, I guess, just opposite kinds of mayors.
Got me.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. A lot's been done, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who's going to win the award for best mayor as we go on down the pike, but it's an interesting thing to watch.
Like in Marion history?
Yeah.
Kellogg.
Yeah. Well, Kellogg was very good.
Yep.
But a lot of people discount that as well.
Why? He worked with the others. That's always good.
Well,
anybody can get something done if you put forward the bill and then your party's yep, 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 and that's that.
Well, I go back to what I say earlier. The number one goal is to be a nice person and bring people together. Now, Schertzer, I think he did that sometimes. Mayor Kellogg did that a lot. I know people... I'll tell you the story. I can't remember if it was his last time he ran or next to last time, but one time Mayor Schertzer or Mayor Kellogg ran for office, he ran against Joanne Kosodas. She was the Democrat who ran against Mayor Schertzer. Or no, Mayor Kellogg. And she came very close, being very popular, and George was her husband, and she had been a teacher and all this. And that was a nasty, nasty race. People were saying a lot of nasty things. And years later, when I was doing the Exchange Club, you know, maybe 8 or 9 years later, I forgot that that nasty race had happened. And I never told people who the other panelists were going to be, so I had invited Mayor Kellogg the same week that I had invited Jack Kellogg, or George Kosodas. Did you hear a door open?
Yeah.
Oh, that's always a nervous thing. I don't know.
Well,
it's Halloween.
I guess so.
So you never know. But in any event, I invited them both. And they came in and couldn't have been nicer. George Kosodas and Jack Kellogg to each other.
Well, I think that's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's how things used
But things
to be.
Blow over.
Yeah. People have short memories.
Well, I don't know if it was a short memory. I just think that think George liked Jack.
Well, Jack Kellogg's a likable kind of person. I don't know.
And that's what I was saying. Being likable is very important when it comes to politics.
Well, yeah, I mean, nobody wants to vote for somebody they don't like. I mean, it's the same con- nobody wants to be told that they're wrong by somebody they don't like, whether they're wrong or right.
Right, and I don't know where those type of politicians are. The kind that are non-divisive.
They don't exist anymore.
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but they're not at the national level.
Or at the local level.
Yeah, at this point, at
least. Can you think of a local politician that everybody likes?
Like, current?
Yeah, I mean, there are some that people are just kind of indifferent about.
I mean, Joan's still a politician, isn't she?
Joanne?
I called her Joan, didn't I? Joanne, yeah, she's...
She is, but I say, is she an out-in-the-front, forefront politician? Not really. I'm talking about somebody who gets out a lot, who people are well aware of, that everybody likes.
I mean, I don't go around all the events, but I mean, I don't really see a lot of the local politicians at the events. I think the last one I saw at an event was, well, I mean, I guess the League of Women Voters Candidates Night, but, was it Grogan at the solar farm thing?
He certainly wouldn't be the, poster boy for everybody likes.
Well, not now. I think he used to be, wouldn't he? He was a popular fellow at one point.
Okay.
That was my understanding.
He was?
Maybe unless I'm getting people mixed
up. I don't know. I mean, he was okay. I mean, I liked him. I still like him.
Yeah, nice enough guy. I mean, I guess I've never actually had a direct conversation with him, but, you know, never had a bad interaction with him. I've met him.
So who, in your opinion, are the most divisive politicians you've come across locally?
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people tend to not like what the current mayor is doing, but I guess a lot of people didn't really like what Schertzer was doing. He didn't, like, I don't know. A lot of the, I mean, people just complained that Schertzer didn't do anything as mayor. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know that they disliked him per se. I mean, they voted him in 4 times. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think Twyla gets a lot of backlash. I mean, I don't think there's anybody, like, absurdly divisive.
Oh, I do. I think most of the politicians right now, people see as divisive. I think if you like certain ones, you dislike the other ones. I don't think there's many that are just universally liked. Everybody goes, I just like that person. I think I could find a good majority of people who disliked just about every candidate.
Well, I'm sure you could, but I mean...
That didn't always used to, I could. It would have been hard to go find a lot of people who disliked Jack Kellogg. It would have been hard to find a lot of people who would bash Mayor Schertzer hard. It would have been hard to find a lot of people if you went down city council's row to find... I mean, I remember the people who were generally disliked. I don't want to say their names, but there were some on city council over the years. But most of the people were just, they were council people. They had to run for re-election. They were not seen as divisive.
I mean, Miranda and Tommy are divisive at this point, but not for any, like...
But I don't think they're divisive. I think they're divisive by city council. I don't think they're divisive by the population.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we get a lot of people that, you know... I mean, I can't think of who it is, but I mean, there's callers who call in and just hope and pray that we get this charter so we can get rid of the treasurer.
I think that's a charter issue. I don't think anybody, I think Miranda has stayed in office by being likable. I think she saved herself many different times by doing interviews, by taking the speeches or talking down to that's happened at city council. I think that has saved her more often than not. I think, again, I'm not saying she knows what she's doing all the time, and I'm not saying that her policies are the best.
Well, I mean,
but I'm saying as a likable person, I don't think people see her as a divisive person.
Well, I mean, I don't think she's divisive as far as, like, personality goes.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
I don't care how people's jobs are their jobs. I'm talking about personality, the cult of personality. there used to be so few people that were disliked solely based on their personality. There were a few, but they were that was a small group. Now, personalities rule.
Well, I don't know any of those people personally. I don't know what their personality is.
No, no, like. The way they perform in front of crowds, the way they appear on talk shows,
but
the
that's
way.
Not, that, but that's like performative. That's not them.
No, but that's how, when you're a public person, that's who you are seen as.
I mean, it's your public persona, I guess, but it's not you.
Well, what else are we talking about here? Do you know any of these people at home?
What do you mean any of these people?
I mean, I guess why I'm confused, why you went to, like, their person. Do you know any of them personally? Do you, like, spend a lot of time with them personally?
No, I mean, that's
the... So what do you think this question was about?
I don't think any of them are, like...
I don't know any of them personally.
I don't know. When I think of somebody who's, like, really divisive, I'm thinking, like... I don't know, like Mike Johnson and AOC and Bernie Sanders and
but
Donald
that's national.
Trump. Yeah.
Of course there's going to be more talk. They're national. I'm talking about local...
Like locally, I don't... I mean,
oh, I could run off a list of local people who are seen as absolutely divisive. Just divisive.
I mean, Robert Landon gets beat over the head a lot. But again, I mean... I don't think that's a personality thing. I think he just people thought he did poorly in the job.
I don't know. I think Miranda would have the same image, but I don't think she does.
Well, that's because I guess I wasn't around during the Robert Landon thing. I mean, I know that they called for his resignation, and
they called for hers.
But Robert Landon resigned.
He did.
See, Miranda just stuck it out, and then, you know, it was like...
So you think hers would be worse?
Well, no, because I was just about to say. I mean, like, it's a different thing. Like, she stuck it out. And then, like, Robert never came on to explain anything. She came on and gave...
Right.
Whether or
public
not,
persona.
Whether or not it was you know, the truth or not. She came on and gave, you know...
That's right.
...her a story. And not only that, she does come off as a sympathetic person. Because, like, in the... I mean, council, it's not so bad anymore. But, like, for a while there, it was, like, every city council meeting you went to, they allotted, like, 30 minutes to beat the auditor over the head.
Right, so how's that different from the question I asked? That's exactly what I asked.
What do you mean?
Well, yeah, public persona. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, how do you think Bernie Sanders and AOC is dismissive?
Dismissive?
Yeah.
Decisive, or divisive.
Divisive.
Well, I mean, I know a considerable amount of people who don't like AOC because she's, you know... Rather,
well, you have the president calling her low IQ and other stuff, and when you have the president saying things about Bernie Sanders, it's just divisive there.
Well, Bernie Sanders also very liberal. I mean, like, the man wanted to, like, but he's the one, the free college and the free health care, and that's
people.
Do what
is he trying to get blacks to turn against whites? Is his group white supremacists? How is he trying to... He wants you to come to his meetings, whether you're Democrat or Republican. How is he divisive?
Well, again, I mean, I think it's just the
because
politics.
He won't sign and go along with this bill? Or other crap?
No, I'm like I just said. I mean, his policy is just rather extreme, as a lot of people would put it. I mean, he's very low. I mean, he wants free health care, free college, you know, social services through the roof, and a lot of people aren't about that.
Don't you think that would be a good idea?
It's the same thing with AOC.
If we had free
and it doesn't matter what I think. I mean, if I liked them, somebody else could really dislike. I mean, people love Donald Trump. I've made it known I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. He's divisive.
People don't like him now.
People don't like AOC. People don't like Bernie.
People didn't like him last time, except they thought he would be better on the economy, and they got schooled. If you had free community college, maybe we could cut the barrier down between the Chinese people in India and all these countries being so goddamn smarter than us. That's a fact. Free health care maybe we'd have a longer lifespan for our people. We don't have the longest lifespan. We have more people in development countries that are dying from just things that could have been prevented. I just don't see how you can say they're divisive.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, I have a clip. By the way, anybody can call in, 740-383-9944. I talked earlier on about the fact that Donald Trump got an IQ test screwed up with a cognitive test this past week, which is a little problematic. This clip's from The View, and then he went after, speaking of AOC, that's what put it in my mind, he went after AOC and Jasmine Crockett. Here is the clip of Donald Trump talking about his MRI coming back and the response from AOC and Jasmine Crockett. Here you go.
They have Jasmine Crockett, a low IQ person. They have AOC's low IQ. You give her an IQ test. Have her pass, like, the exams that I decided to take when I was at Walter Reed. That was a very hard, they're really aptitude tests, I guess, in a certain way, but they're cognitive tests. Let AOC go against Trump. Let Jasmine go against Trump.
Okay, wait. So AOC responded on social media asking, out of curiosity, did those doctors ask you to draw a clock by any chance? Was that the hard part for you too? Asking for 340 million people. Jasmine Crockett also weighed in. Take a look.
He doesn't even know what a low IQ is. He don't even know which scores are low. You have a president of the United States who consistently is obsessing over two women of color that are members of the House. You are the president. I don't know what black woman hurt him in his past, honey, but it is really taking him through it.
Well, there you go. And by the way, he did not take an IQ test. He took a cognitive test for dementia. Just to be clear on what test he did take.
Well, that's good. Well, he doesn't have dementia.
Okay. So what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think the president's probably got better things to do than bashing on AOC and Crockett.
Does he?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's got a country to run. I mean, the government's shut down at this point.
Well, then why was he?
Apparently, I don't know. I mean, he's just that kind of person. Does it surprise you?
Well, and by the way, we're having the discussion about SNAP benefits earlier. Here's a senator, Democratic Senator Ben Lay Lewin, and then I think it's Thune. Here we go, on the whole food stamp thing.
And blessed with such abundance, allowing our fellow Americans to go hungry is sadly right now a policy decision. I would argue a political decision. The Trump administration has yet again made the choice to allow our fellow Americans to go hungry.
The senator from New Mexico is absolutely right. SNAP recipients shouldn't go without food. People should be getting paid in this country. And we've tried to do that 13 times. And you voted no 13 times. You want to have a discussion about health care? Absolutely. Let's do it. Open the government. Let's do it.
Now, who sounds angrier there? The Democrat was first, the Republican. As a matter of fact, it was the majority leader. Thune was the second voice you heard.
Well, I mean, they voted on the bill 13 times.
Yeah.
No, but that's true.
Mm-hmm.
People are not getting paid. That's true.
Sound a little angry. Why? They're winning, and it's all in their court.
Who said they're winning?
Well, you said the Republicans are coming off better than this. They have less things to change, and it's the Democrats who need to change their tact here. They have less people.
See, now you're missing.
That's what you said.
No.
You said they need to pick a different issue, or they need to come in and compromise first because they're the minority.
It doesn't matter who compromises first. Compromise just needs to happen.
But I guess why in that spiel from earlier this week did the Democrat sound very calm, very measured, and explain that this is a policy decision from the Trump administration, SNAP benefits, and the majority leader in the Senate, Thune, is screaming and saying, open back up the government, then we'll talk about health care. Now, why do we have to compromise after the government's opened back up?
We don't.
Okay, so why do that? Why say that?
What do you mean?
What was the point of his speech?
Well,
because he knows that this SNAP thing's a big deal. And he knows it's hurting his party harder. And he knows that a lot of the states that Trump won and that these Republican Congress people and senators are from are red states that need those services. And that's why the Democrats are playing it this way. And I don't understand why people don't understand that. It has nothing to do about majority or minority party. This is all about who's got the leverage. And the Democrats do have the leverage on this one.
Well, I mean, again, I did not say that the Republicans had the upper hand. They just have the majority. It would be easier for them to make a compromise because they only need to switch over 4 or 5.
And why don't they?
Because they want their bill.
Right. So they're not going to.
Okay.
So
and
then
the Democrats aren't going to because they want their bill. So it seems we're caught in an impasse here.
No, again, I think you don't get this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, when AOC was on there talking, she didn't sound in a hateful voice at all. She didn't come back and call Donald Trump anything. You know, the test he took was, one of the things on it was a lion.
That's true.
Elephant or something else. And could you identify him? Or which one is bigger?
I'm not trying to make a joke here, but why did the President of the United States think that a cognitive test was an IQ test? And why did he think...
I have no idea what an IQ test is.
Yeah, but why would he think that anybody would have a problem knowing what the animals were?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this a call for alarm?
I think a 5-6-year-old probably knows the difference between a lion and an elephant.
I don't
to see if you're cognitive.
I don't.
One thing they do a lot of times is give you 3 numbers or 3 words. And when I was in a nursing home, they did that quite often to you to see if you had anything upstairs. You know, but AOC didn't sound mad, mean, go vindictive on him. But that's all Trump does to people he don't like.
Well, I don't think that Trump thought it was an IQ test. I think he probably said IQ test because it sounded better than to say cognitive test.
Well, no. Because he said
cognitive.
No, wait a second, though.
He couldn't even remember
the
name of the test he did was.
His whole speech there was, have AOC go against Trump on that test. Have Jasmine Crockett go. If he thought that was a cognitive, did he think they weren't cognitive? Is that what he was trying to say?
Well, again, the majority of people, I don't think, are going, like, I think that they probably just like, okay, IQ test. I mean, they heard Donald Trump say he took an IQ test. I mean, I don't think Donald Trump really thought it was an IQ test. It'd be pretty hard to mistake that for an IQ test.
So he wanted them to take the same test that he took identifying animals, and he thought he could do better at that than them?
No, again,
That's what he said.
Yes, I understand what he said, but but he's not actually suggesting they do it.
So what was he saying?
It's just a jab. That's it.
Yeah, but okay. So if he
go against him.
Now wait a second. What do you mean? That's what kind of jab is that? That's a jab at him. So you're saying.
Okay.
Wait a second. You're saying he flipped the words unintentionally.
No, intentionally. I'm just saying.
So
he's
you
a
think
liar.
That was an intentional joke? You think
not
he was
a joke.
Working,
it's a lie.
So you think he was working in irony there?
No, I think that he wanted people to believe that he took an IQ test, so he said
right.
IQ test. Okay. I think he just lied. I don't think he unintentionally made a joke. I think he just lied.
And he thought nobody would realize, nobody'd call him out on that?
I mean, I'm sure he thought people would call him out on it, but, like, I mean, again, are the majority of people going to realize that he was called out on it, or are the majority of people just going to realize that Donald Trump said he took an IQ test and wanted them to take an IQ test to determine who had a better score?
Well, but here's,
I think
one
he
of
just
our,
lied.
Here's one of our listeners out there, Laura. One of Trump's Wharton School professors has said that Trump is the dumbest student I ever had. That might have something to do with it. He's an idiot.
Yeah, they don't even know the difference between tests.
I don't think that was a joke.
I just don't. I didn't say it was. I said I think he lied.
Well, I don't think. No, I don't see that as a lie. I don't, because I don't even know what the point is.
I just explained to you the point.
Yeah, I don't know. You might want to take that cognitive test.
It was just a jab at his enemies. He had no reason bringing those two people up, especially when they're of color. That's. Oh, so you're going to get him talking about you now.
I don't know.
That's just a point I wanted to make.
Thanks for calling. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't think so. I mean, the man could hide anything at this point. Why not just take an IQ test and say you got a better score? Why would you bring up a cognitive test? Why would you want to bring up the idea, knowing that people could figure this out? Why would you bring it up?
Because, again, the majority of people aren't going to go out of their way to see if he took an IQ test or what the score was or anything like that.
But the media will. The same amount of people who saw that video of him saying he took an IQ test.
Probably not.
Oh, I think so. You think a lot of people are watching the Air Force One footage of him standing in the doorway?
No, but I think that's a clip you can find on YouTube. I guarantee you that's a clip you can find on YouTube. And it's probably been played at least half a million times.
And I bet you the clip of the response has been played half a million times.
Probably not.
Oh, I disagree.
I mean,
and especially since it was put on The View, I bet that clip we just watched was probably seen more than half a million times.
The View one, sure, maybe.
Well, The View, as a matter of fact, I think has a rating.
It was on Twitter, isn't it? Like a Twitter post?
I don't know.
I think it was a Twitter
but
post.
I think, by the way, the footage from Jasmine Crockett was from CNN, so that's big numbers right there. And then you add replayed on The View, which I think is the highest rated show in daytime, seen by about 3 million people every day. So did that really work out in his favor?
I mean, I don't think it worked against him. I mean, he's just going to say that.
You're very out there today.
I mean, again, like, look, people just believe what he says. Like, he literally say one thing. Like, Chris.
I don't doubt that.
Her name is what? Christy Noem, right? Her whole job is to just go out there and say, oh, Trump didn't mean that. Oh, Trump didn't say that. That's a lie. That's just media said that.
Right.
That's her whole job.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, Donald Trump is just.
But I'm saying, I don't think that's the majority of people in the United States.
I said that more people are going to see that clip.
Right, but what's the point at this point? What's he running for? What's the deal? Why do this?
It's just to discredit people.
But I'm saying if more people are seeing it the opposite way.
It's the same concept as when whoever asked him why he always says that the media's lies. Because the more I say it, the more they believe me and the less they believe you.
Right. But it's the same thing. But that's not what's going
on. The more I call the Democrats incompetent, the more people might just believe the Democrats are incompetent.
Right. But now that's become an old hat. So that's a problem. That's a new hat in the beginning. It's an old hat now. And these people, AOC's response was on her Twitter feed. That wasn't through the media.
Not Twitter.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, people are just responding the way they want to respond. So, why?
Well, I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah, but what does this have to do with anything? You're discrediting these two people who are already in office, which is basically what she's saying. We're Congress people. You're the president. You're worried about us?
Well, yeah. I mean, in theory, Congress has all the real power.
Two people.
Congress.
No, it was two people. He didn't say the whole Congress.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
he didn't say the Democrat. He said two people.
Yeah, but it's not like that's the first time he's gone after people. He's gone after Chuck Schumer. He's gone after AOC before. He's gone after Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, but
he's gone after people. But it's not anything new.
But what's the point?
What's the point in any of it? Why is he going after anybody? It's all stupid. It's all pointless.
Which I think is the point.
Okay. Well, we agree then. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say. It was. I mean.
But you said you felt it did him good by doing that. That this is a good thing for him to do this.
I said I don't think it did him any harm.
Right. Okay.
I mean, well, it did him good.
So, buddy, just even Steven?
I don't really think anything's going to change based on it.
No, I don't think people's things are going to change, but I think there would have been no conversation on the mass level that it ended up being on about him taking a cognitive test if he just wouldn't have said that. That does you harm in a certain world.
In a certain world.
In the world we live in. Yes, there are people who heard now that the president doesn't know the difference between a cognitive test and an IQ test that would have never heard that before had he never brought it up in the first place. Go ahead, caller.
Dismissive. Divisive. That's what you saying Trump doesn't do and Republicans don't do. It's all the Democrats that are divisive.
Who said that?
You.
What is that? What is him attacking those people?
When did I say that it's just the Democrats that are divisive?
Well, you act like the Republicans don't do it.
When?
We were just talking.
But it works for them.
I brought up Mike Johnson. I brought up Donald Trump. I brought up AOC. I brought up Bernie. That's two Republicans, two Democrats.
Right, but you just said though that Donald Trump, it works for him.
I said it doesn't work against
him. Doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt him.
But you used it as a negative form for the other people.
I said he did it because of, I don't think he really did anything. Again, I don't think it's going to change anything.
But you're saying divisiveness does not hurt him,
but it
hurts the others.
He is, that's his whole persona is divisiveness. How is it going to hurt him? It's all he does.
Well, as I just tried to explain, there are a whole swath of people who never would have known that he took a cognitive test or got it screwed up had he not brought that up. So what's the point?
And that's how I knew one of the questions in the test. Was watching The View.
There you go. It's a big mistake to do that. Why do that? Nobody on television would have been talking about him taking a cognitive test or screwing up IQ and cognitive if he had not made that divisive comment. It did hurt him. It would have just went by. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have cared.
I think it still would have just go by. If I go and ask...
We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, but if I go and ask, like, the average... I guarantee you, like, the majority of people have not heard anything about this.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think that's wrong.
Okay, well, go ask a whole bunch of people. Most people don't
keep
up.
Well, you said in the beginning nobody knew about Amy Acton and Dave Yost was the shoe-in. Well, here we are. Dave Yost is gone.
That is not what I said. I said I think that Dave Yost has better name recognition than Amy Acton.
And then Dave Yost is gone.
Because Vivek Ramaswamy took it. Because he's a diet Donald Trump. He literally does the same thing as Donald Trump.
And Amy Acton has broken the fundraising records.
So when Donald Trump leaves Ohio...
I think he's getting angry.
No, it's just... I don't understand your logic here.
Well, you said 1 year ago that Dave Yost had higher name recognition than Amy Acton and would have a better shot at it. And Dave Yost, as we look...
Nobody else got in the race on the Democratic side. If Tim Ryan was in the race the entire time, maybe it would be a better race.
Not according to the polls.
Vivek Ramaswamy is a diet Donald Trump.
I gotta be able to finish the sentence here. The point is, you said that Dave Yost had better name recognition than Amy Acton and had a better shot at governor. 1 year later, Dave Yost is gone... Dead in the party, will not be running for anything else.
Ramaswamy, right?
And Amy Acton has broken the fundraising record
set by the primary.
Okay, so that means you break the fundraising record?
I mean,
caller, do you understand any of this?
If the Democrats...
Do you get any of what I'm saying here today, or am I just spitting in the wind?
The Democrats just despise Donald Trump. And so when a diet Donald Trump runs for governor of Ohio, he literally, like, when he ran for president...
If Dave Yost had all that name recognition, why'd the Republicans dump him so quick?
Because Vivek Ramaswamy is a diet Donald Trump.
Are you seeing Amy Acton on TV?
Vivek Ramaswamy was chummy with Donald Trump. Vivek Ramaswamy...
You didn't think he was going to run?
Vivek Ramaswamy went on tour with Charlie Kirk.
I believe Ramaswamy was the first one to announce he was going to run before Dave Yost.
Hey, I've seen this. I don't know if it's true or not, that J.D. Vance is with Charlie Kirk's widow.
I don't think so, but...
And his wife is wanting to divorce him. J.D. Vance's wife. Have you seen or anything?
I don't think that's factual. No, I wouldn't guess that. But no, I believe we knew Ramaswamy was running at the time that you gave that comment about Dave Yost. I think that we knew Amy Acton was running at the time, and there were not a whole lot of other Democrats thinking about getting in this at that time. And the comment still holds up. Dave Yost got steamrolled out of the race, and Amy Acton is at the height.
Again, Diet Donald Trump. I mean, he, like I said, he went on tours with Charlie Kirk, was buddy-buddy with Elon Musk and Donald Trump.
You didn't know that
Trump.
Then?
Did you hear him talking at his funeral? He didn't hardly say anything about Charlie Kirk. He got up on his ballroom and everything else.
Who, Vivek?
Trump.
Oh, I didn't watch the funeral.
When he was talking at Charlie Kirk's funeral, he hardly said anything about Charlie Kirk. He got on his stuff in his great ballroom.
Well, it's interesting. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast here today. Halloween certainly is. 740-383-9944. Don't forget, we'll be passing out candy, thanks to the Industrial Channel, 5:30 to 7:30 tonight during Halloween, back here of the station. And then we'll be on tonight for the big Halloween. It'll feel like Halloween tonight. Dark out. We'll trick-or-treat have just ended. 8:15. I don't think it'll be that bad.
I don't like the cold.
8:15 to 10. And then we'll have 10:15 to 11. You don't know if your guest is coming or not.
Yes.
So if the guest doesn't come, what's the topic?
Same topics. I'm just gonna. I guess it'll just be me rambling on about the government shutdown and the loss of. I guess Ohio is gonna have snaps for at least a little while, but I guess I don't know.
I'm still not sure how that works. I don't know if new cards are gonna be sent out or if the.
Yeah, I don't. Yep, that's what I was wondering. I don't know. I don't know how the state just funds that, but I mean, it'll be interesting nonetheless.
I don't know, but I think at some point these parties will come together. There comes a point where enough pressure is put on you. Especially if the economy starts to take a tumble.
Well, I don't think that the government's going to be shut down forever.
No, but I think that's everybody's game. Eventually, you're going to have to come to the table.
Well, yeah.
So, just postpone it, I guess, as long as you want. Because eventually, you're going to have to come. And I think that's the Democrats' game, as I said earlier. I think in July, they didn't do that. And that's why people got angry.
Well, I mean, they should have done it in July.
I think that's what people said. So they did it the next chance they had. And here we are. Plus, once it becomes the longest shutdown in history, which I believe is in 4 days, that also gets a bad connotation.
Both of the longest shutdowns in history are under Trump, right?
I think. But this will be, in just a matter of days, that becomes a problem. The more people who go without pay, that becomes a problem. And there are states that I don't think are going to get any food assistance. That will be a problem. And that will be a mounting problem as time goes on. And that's going to be a mounting problem for... That's a state problem. Because those people vote you in. And if people... That's why... I mean, why do you think DeWine did this? I think because he wanted to help the Democrats?
No, but I think it, I mean, they're, well, I mean, DeWine did at least, so DeWine funded WIC, or not WIC, just SNAP, I suppose, but, so, I mean, that looks good on him and the Republicans.
I don't know if it does, though, because I don't know if people will even know where it came from or what it did. I think some will.
Yeah, some will.
I don't think the majority will.
Probably not.
So again,
the majority of people don't follow politics, really.
Right, but it cost the governor. It cost some of that rainy day money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, I mean, I think, I mean, if the Republicans...
I think it's also interesting he did it with an executive order.
Who?
DeWine.
Well, how else was he going to do it?
Well, he could have gone to the House.
That would take too long.
But he could have started this a long time ago.
Yeah, but then they would have...
Other people didn't like executive orders.
Then he would have telegraphed it.
Okay, well, what... Did he think the government was going to be... The problem was going to be solved?
No, that's why I don't know why he said anything about it before funding it.
Because I believe he thought somebody would crack. DeWine is a cagey politician. Whether you like him or not, or think he could get elected again or not, DeWine has been in politics his whole life.
Well, I'm sure he could get elected again.
He knows exactly
somewhere.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
You think if DeWine ran for Senate, we just wouldn't elect him? I think DeWine would have a fair chance. I don't think he wants Senate, but I figure he's going to do something. I don't know that he'll run for another office, but I assume he's going to get some government job.
I don't know, but I know that he has got... He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around for a while.
And these decisions, I don't think are political anymore. I don't think they're political party.
Like...
Well, I know he has distanced himself...
Like the snap thing? Or like what? Like what?
He has no connection to Ramaswamy. And has made no effort.
Well, he has no connection to the Trump party.
No, but eventually he comes around. In the end on all these issues.
I don't know why.
But he does.
Yeah, he does.
But, yeah, I don't know that he will on this Ramaswamy one. There's something going on there with him still talking to Amy Acton. And her not wanting to talk about what the tenor of the conversations are.
Well, I assume she's getting advice from DeWine.
Right, and that's it. That's the cagey politician. Don't make it big. I'm not going to endorse you because that's not going to do either of us any good. But I can coach you from the sidelines. I can tell you what's going on in this Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, that's about what I expected.
And I think that's what this is with Snap. He can take a jab at the Democrats in there. He knows nobody cares what the Ohio governor. What? There are two senators from Ohio, and neither one of them are Democrat right now. So who's he talking about?
Well, there's two senators from every state.
Right, but who's he talking about? That's his statement. It would have been much easier if the Senate Democrats would have just passed this clean bill. Who's he talking to? Not talking to the Ohio senators. They're both Republican.
Yeah.
He's the Ohio governor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's talking, people in California care about Mike DeWine? People in New York care about Mike DeWine?
No. Do people in Ohio care about Gavin Newsom? No.
No, but I don't think Gavin Newsom said it.
Oh, no, why would Gavin Newsom say it?
I think Gavin Newsom's running for president. I don't think Mike DeWine is.
I think Gavin Newsom is running for president.
So I think that's a different...
I think that's probably right.
I think that's a different situation. But I'm saying, Mike DeWine is doing... He did not say anything about... There's nothing in there substantial, except that he funded SNAP.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go.
Okay.
And where's Ramaswamy's comment today that was the right thing to do?
I don't think he made a comment.
Wonder why.
Because he's Diet Donald Trump, like I said. If you like Trump, you probably like Vivek, because they say the same thing.
And you believe there are no Mike DeWine... Republicans left in Ohio.
Honestly, that's the only reason I think Vivek did so poorly in the Republican primary when he ran for president. It was because he was against Donald Trump. He literally was being Diet Donald Trump against Donald Trump. Why would you elect the Diet Donald Trump when you could have the Donald Trump?
Well, here's the point. Laura is saying, I thought DeWine was giving money to food banks, not SNAP. Well, that is the confusion, and I think, again, he's confusing. Because he has said he's going to give $25 million, seven goes to the food banks. 18 in emergency relief benefits. But nobody's talking about how or where or who, because that's certainly not going to cover the whole bill.
Well, no, I think that's why he gave money to both. I assume, I mean, I would figure, I guess, he gave money to both food pantries and WIC, because, well, I keep saying WIC, SNAP, because, you know, I don't think that there's enough money to... Like you said, pay the whole bill. So I think food pantries are going to have to pick up some slack. So
is enough money to pay the whole bill.
There's a lot of... I mean,
it's $263 million, but we've got about $5 billion.
That's a lot.
And people will get back pay once the government opens up. So I don't... I don't know.
I think nobody should get paid right now.
Well, remember...
Donald Trump get paid? They're the president, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't think he takes a check anyway.
Oh.
I think he just grips it off the top. You know, like settlements and things like that.
Like the $230 million you took for the Justice Department, yeah. And then all of a sudden the ballroom is going to cost $230 million.
So there you go. All right. Don't forget, 5:30 to 7:30 tonight, we'll be passing out candy back here at the station for the Industrial Channel. We thank them for that. And then we'll be back on for the big Halloween show tonight. We'll have lots of Halloween fun, 8:15 till 10 p.m. And then Matt will be on from 10:15 to 11, possibly with a guest. We don't know. But we'll find out then. Happy Halloween. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.